From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. This hour, we hear from members of the unique substance abuse help group, Moms Off Meth. The first Moms Off Meth group got started in Ottumwa in 1999 after numerous mothers had their children taken away due to their addiction to methamphetamine. Now, 10 years later, there are several Moms Off Meth groups around Iowa and even in other states. We'll talk to several members of the group this hour, along with Substance Abuse Coordinator Judy Murphy, about how Moms Off Meth works and why it's so effective in helping women with all kinds of substance abuse problems. First, a check of this hour's news. This is an archive edition of The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. According to the National Office of Drug Control Policy, over 22 million people have a substance dependence or abuse problem in the United States. It's estimated that over 10 million Americans, 12 or older, have used methamphetamine at least once in their lifetimes. This hour, we learn about Moms Off Meth, a unique substance abuse help group. And the first Moms Off Meth group got started in Ottumwa in 1999 after numerous mothers had their children taken away due to their addiction to methamphetamine. Now, 10 years later, there are several Moms Off Meth groups around Iowa and even in other states. Joining us this hour to discuss the group's origins and how it works effectively to help are Judy Murphy. She joins us in the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. She is Substance Abuse Coordinator for First Resources Corporation in Ottumwa. Thank you for coming in today, Judy.
Thank you.
Joining us on the phone, Mary Booman, co-facilitator of the Cherokee Iowa Moms Off Meth Group up near Sioux City. Are we reaching you near Sioux City, Mary?
I'm here.
Yes, where are we reaching you?
Well, actually, I'm in Sioux City, but I co-facilitate a group in Cherokee and one in Lamar's, Iowa also, so both very close to Sioux City.
Very good. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Also joining us by phone, two recovering meth addicts, two mothers who found help in Moms Off Meth Group. Melanie Storm is on the phone with us. Melanie?
Yes, I'm here.
Great to have you with us. Also, Joey Thompson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Everyone's joined our group. Let's first talk about, before we talk to Melanie and Joey, I'd like to talk a few minutes about this group. Tell us, Judy, more about Meths Off Mom. What? Take us back to its origins. Tell us about Ottumwa in the 90s during the beginning or the middle of the meth epidemic, as we have come to know it.
Okay. Actually, the original idea for the Moms Off Meth group came as a direct response to the numerous women who are losing their children to the child welfare and juvenile court system due to their addiction to methamphetamine. Methamphetamine has been in Iowa for very many years, and at that time we were seeing a huge reaction in our community. And so a bunch of service providers and community members got together with a community task force for drug-affected children to discuss all the barriers we were having with so many women losing their children and really a lot of problems with reunification. There was a fear that women weren't recovering from their meth addiction and children weren't being returned. So the original idea for the group came out of that task force for drug-affected children. At that time, I worked for the Crisis Center and Women's Shelter, and they asked us, because we had a history of providing services to women, and so they asked us if we could get together and start a group to support the women who were losing their children. And so that's actually how the first group came about. It's just an idea from that task force stating we really want to help the women. We really want women to be reunited with their children, and we're, you know, needing some extra support. And so from the Crisis Center and Women's Center perspective, we were certainly excited about that. We had a history of working with women. We also believe that underneath of their addiction and alcoholism was usually some abuse issues. And so we came armed with just some excitement and passion for providing this group. There were four women who came to our first group. We really wanted them to know that we believed they were experts on their lives and that they had some really important information as to why they couldn't recover and why, you know, what their barriers were.
In the past 10 years, in just the group in Ottumwa, how many women have been a part of Moms Off Meth?
There have been probably hundreds and maybe even thousands of women who have joined the group.
Just in Ottumwa?
There was at least 800, I think, served in Ottumwa over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then across Iowa, because we now have groups in how many communities in Iowa?
We have groups in the Ottumwa group is still going, Cedar Rapids, Cherokee, Lamars, Fort Dodge, Carroll. There's two groups in Des Moines, Milford, Waterloo, Council Bluffs, and Washington. There's other groups out there, and if I haven't mentioned you guys, I'm sorry. We have a hard time tracking everybody who started groups.
More information on the web. The website momsoffmeth.com is a place to start and find more information out about that. Mary Booman in Sioux City, tell us, what is the appeal or the effectiveness that Moms Off Meth has as a group for substance abuse help that other groups didn't have?
I think the one thing is that it is a group that is founded by the moms. You know, when we decided to put one together in Cherokee, we went, obviously, to those who were in the recovery community and those who moms who were affected by addictions as far as that. So it's really their group. We don't report to DHS. We don't report to the courts. We meet them where they're at. So we don't do any blaming or shaming. And we, like I said, I think the biggest appeal is the moms come because they want to, because they know that they're going to get the support, because they know that it's very non-threatening. You know, we mm-hmm. talk about the issues that need to be talked about, but again, we don't have to report to anyone. And we just meet them where they're at. So I think that's a huge appeal to everyone that's involved in the group, myself included.
Let's turn to Melanie Storm, a recovering meth addict. Now you work as a coordinator for. Do I have this right? The Sioux Cluster for the Parent Partner Program in Northwest Iowa.
Yep.
And for our listeners' information, Parent Partner is a parent advocacy program, partnering with families that have experienced having a child removed from their home by the Department of Human Services. You, Melanie, lost custody of your child, your daughter, in 2005 due to meth. Can you tell us your story? How far back was it that you got into drugs?
Well, I think I started using about when I was around 16, a lot of pot use, occasional meth use. Did continue to use pot frequently and meth just on weekends and such, and then I stopped during both my pregnancies, but did start using again soon after both my children were born. The meth use kind of became daily around 2003, and then we learned how to cook it, so we started cooking meth about in 2004. And then I got busted in 2005 for a meth lab and then lost my daughter at that time. I did go through outpatient treatment and graduated, and then I started using again, still not having custody of my daughter. It was in the DHS system. Mm-hmm. And then I got put in jail for a dirty UA, and that was
violating your parole.
Yes, for mm-hmm. probation violation. I had got probation for the mm-hmm. criminal charges with mm-hmm. the meth lab. And then that was pretty much my bottom. I went to inpatient treatment for a very short time and then started intensive outpatient and a women's group, and also started going to Moms Off Meth, and I've been clean and sober since then. The moms group really helped me learn how to advocate for myself. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest. Going to Mom's Group was the biggest part of my recovery.
Congratulations on staying clean for over 2 years now. Can you describe, Melanie, for the many listeners who have never had an addiction past perhaps needing a morning cup of Joe, what is so strong about a meth addiction?
I think it's just the instant high that you get, and it lasts so long, and it was pretty readily available at that time, and it grabs a hold of you and it doesn't let go.
Mm. One of those drugs you'll do anything for to get some more.
Yes, it gets to be that point. I know that's what we pretty much, I pretty much did. I always justified it, well, I didn't have to go find it, it came to me, mm-hmm. but that was, if it didn't come to me, I eventually would go find it.
Joey Thompson, let me have you tell us a bit of your story. Your substance abuse began even earlier than Melanie's, at the age of 12?
Yeah, that'd be the first time that I started using alcohol.
Mm-hmm. What led you to start so early with alcohol abuse?
There was a lot of issues in my family growing up. My mom was at the bar a lot, and we were left unsupervised. I had an older sister and hung out with her friends, and we just started smoking and drinking, and it was a way of life for us to be partiers like that, so that was just, I guess, a natural step in our childhood.
By the age of 15, I understand you were in treatment for drugs and alcohol. Why didn't that end it there?
Well, I guess part of that was because when I came out, I tried to stay clean. I went to my first AA meeting, and I didn't know how to cope with life. I wasn't raised in an environment to which we dealt with feelings, and I had a lot of pain and traumas that I never dealt with like family members that died and moving around a lot when I was young. And since I never dealt with those, I needed to learn how to cope with life, and I couldn't do it without drugs or alcohol. So
you had your kids taken away, I understand?
Yep, I did for about a year. In 2003, right around Easter time, I allowed them to go on a visit, and they didn't come back. My family members had me committed, and I went through the juvenile court process, which it didn't go the greatest for me for quite some time, because at that time I ended up being pretty much homeless because I had no lights or or water in my house because I hadn't paid the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a long time to get my kids back and make it through treatment.
If we would have seen you on the street at this time, would we have seen that you had a great problem?
You know what? No, a lot of people didn't always recognize. If you would have saw me uptown on the nights that I had been up for a few days, you definitely would have been able to tell. But on the days when I wasn't, you wouldn't have necessarily noticed. By the end of my usage, though, a lot of people had noticed my weight loss. That would have, mm-hmm. that was a trigger for people because as I got clean, people would always say, you're looking really healthy now.
Joey, we have to take a short break. Joey Thompson with us, also Melanie Storm, recovering methamphetamine addicts. And we're also joined by Judy Murphy and Mary Booman. They're involved with the Moms Off Meth program. Judy Murphy, substance abuse coordinator for First Resources Corporation in Ottumwa. That was the birthplace of Moms Off Meth. Now, across Iowa in many groups, helping substance abusers, mothers. And we'd like to invite you to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. We'll be back in just a moment. This is The Exchange.
This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, and you're listening to an archive edition of our program today.
Have you found help in a Moms Off Meth group? We'd like to hear your story. There are hundreds or even thousands of Iowans who have found help in this unique group that is now that was born in Ottumwa and has in many parts of the state, as well as in other states. What questions do you have about getting off drugs and staying clean? Our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Melanie and Joey with us, recovering meth addicts, along with Judy Murphy and Mary Booman, who help out with substance abuse help in the state of Iowa. I want to go back to Joey and Melanie. Tell us, Joey, the turning point for you. When did you reach it? You've been clean for how long? How did you say?
5 years.
5 years. What was the turning point for you? Did you have to reach the bottom, as they always say?
Yeah, I reached the bottom quite a few times, you know, and then throughout the process of learning that I wanted to stay clean and get clean, I really struggled, and so my bottom actually was, I had been done with treatment, and I couldn't not use, and so I pulled out my NA book one day, and I was just a mess, and I was reading my book, and because I didn't know what to do with all these feelings that I started to have once I got clean, and that was pretty much my bottom. I was in a very violent situation in a relationship at that point, and I was afraid I was going to lose my kids again, and so I started going to meetings.
Mm-hmm. What was that first Moms Off Meth meeting like for you?
Well, actually, we helped start the Moms Off Meth group in our area, so I can talk about the training that I went to and help us get it started.
Yeah.
Where Judy was at. It was phenomenal because at last we were at a place where we could connect with other women who knew our hearts and the pain that we had in our hearts. And so we were all gung-ho about getting this group started for our area because we knew so many other mothers. And I can remember that. One of the most neatest experience I had while I didn't have my children was there was a mom who had lost her kids, and she came up to me and she said, "I know what you're feeling." Mm. And so that is so powerful. So now when we have moms come in our group, we can share that experience with them.
So you could share it among people who have shared the same thing, and you shared the shame as well.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of shame that we carry around as moms because we want to be good moms and we love our kids, and we've made terrible mistakes we've made really bad choices, and, we need people to believe in us so we can get better, and that's what we get to do in Moms Group.
Melanie, what did the bottom look like for you?
It was the last time I went to jail, when I went to jail for the dirty UA. I was very angry. I knew a lot of, my comment was, I know a lot of dirt balls have had dirty UAs and they're not in jail, and I'm going to go to prison for 2 years because of a dirty UA. And then when they let me out of jail after like 23 hours, I just knew that was it. I was done. I needed to do this for me and for my daughter, or I wasn't going to get her back, and I couldn't live with not having her. So that was it, and I did what they told me I needed to do, and they had told me I needed to do inpatient, and I went to inpatient where I was there for like 40 hours, and they told me I had to leave because I wasn't bad enough to be there because I had gotten busted a year before that. So then I went and started the intensive outpatient, and I was done. I went into it full bore, did start attending NA meetings once a week, and then got to go to the moms group.
How often is it really difficult? Are you tempted to turn hard drugs again?
It gets easier. I think for me, I still have that craving once in a while, and I don't necessarily think it's for meth. I think it's for pot, but just playing that tape all the way through and knowing what could happen if I did use again, and I don't want to go through that or put my children through that again.
Joey, is that what keeps you clean, to play that tape, as Melanie said, about what would probably happen if you started again?
That's a lot of it, and going to all my supports and just white knuckling it sometimes. Mm. I might be in an environment that's not free of triggers. It took me over 2 years to be able to have aluminum foil in my house, just small things like that sometimes,
Aluminum foil is used in the making and smoking of meth?
Yep, and so, it just, each person, it varies for their triggers, and I have certain slogans that stick with me that help me get through a hard time.
Judy Murphy, I think you want to jump in here.
Yeah, I think one thing that Joey and Melanie have both said is something that's a common thread with women who use substances, and that is that really the way they feel sober is the problem. So many people think that the substance is people who are addicted's problem, and the way they feel sober is the problem. And so one thing that's very important for people who are trying to get into recovery is to find new solutions to their problems and to be solution-focused. When you're actively using your problem-focused, you're thinking about all the problems. They seem overwhelming, and it's very easy to give up and continue using. And so one thing that we do in the moms groups is to keep the women on the solution-based the focus, and to, you know, think about, you know, when those triggers come up, how are you going to deal with that? What response are you going to have that's going to help you get through that and move on beyond that?
Sula is joining us from Marshalltown. Good afternoon,
Hello?
Sula. Yes, you're on the exchange. Good afternoon, Sula.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like to add some comment that most of the times in society, we try to focus on the people who are addicted. As I said, 22 million people are affected by it, but the rest of the population, which is not affected, we have to take an action right now and see where are we losing? Why are people taking drugs, first of all, any kind of drugs, any kind of addiction we have? In my opinion, with my experience being a physician and a primary care practitioner, is people have a lack of spiritual emptiness. When people try to fill that void, they take these other things in life that can give them happiness. And that leads to all these problems that these women are experiencing, losing their families, losing their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that similar to drugs, pornography also has become one of the biggest problems of divorce.
Okay, Sula, we want to get a response to that. We have a couple minutes before we take a break. I'd like to reach out to Mary in Sioux City, Mary Booman. What Sula says about a spiritual emptiness, is that a component that you need to answer in Moms Off Math groups?
I guess in a way there probably is, but I think in the moms group we talk about a lot of different varieties of subjects as far as that being one of them.
Judy, perhaps you want to comment on this.
No, I think the first most important component of the group, and for most of all of the women I've met, is an ability to have a safe place to grieve. They have a lot of losses. They've had a lot of shame and guilt. A lot of people judge them and are afraid of them, and they judge themselves more harshly than anybody does. And so part of, I guess, having some spiritual peace, which he was referring to, is first of all dealing with the pain, the shame, and the guilt. Many of the women I've worked with over the years have been survivors of childhood physical and sexual abuse, have been survivors of domestic violence. They've lived in poverty and had, you know, no access to services. And so, you know, part of that regaining their spiritual peace is to first heal from the things that they've been through.
Okay. And
I'd like to comment one thing on the spiritual piece. This is Joey.
Hi, Joey. Very quick. We have less than a minute before the break. Go ahead, though.
A lot of women that come to the group are so angry at God, they got to be able to express that first, at what's happened to them in their lives.
And, angry at God, why?
They can't understand the abuse that's happened to them a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so whatever their God is, they might be so angry at God. And we've had somebody come before just to talk about some of those issues and that it's okay to feel that way, mm-hmm. and work through some of that so they don't get stuck.
Okay, stay with us, ladies. Melanie Storm with us, Joey Thompson with us. They are recovering methamphetamine addicts. Also with us, Substance Abuse Coordinator for First Resources Corporation in Ottumwa, Judy Murphy with us. Mary Booman, a co-facilitator of a Moms Off Meth group in Cherokee and Lamars. We'd like to have you join our conversation when we come back in a few minutes. Have you perhaps found help in a Moms Off Meth group? We'd like to hear your story. What questions do you have about getting off drugs, staying clean? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back with more help for substance abusers. This is The Exchange. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, and you're listening to an archive edition of our program today. Over 22 million Americans have a substance abuse or dependence problem. Over 10 million Americans, 12 or older, have used methamphetamine at least once in their lifetimes. This hour, we're talking about a unique and very effective group born in Ottumwa, Iowa, Moms Off Meth. The first Moms Off Meth group got started in Ottumwa in 1999. After numerous mothers had their children taken away due to their addiction to methamphetamine. Now 10 years later, there are several Moms Off Meth groups around Iowa and even in other states. You know of a group, you are involved with a group. We'd like to hear from you this hour, 1-866-780-9100. Many calls from people who are involved with Moms Off Meth. Joining me, Judy Murphy in the studio in Iowa City, Iowa Public Radio studio. Mary Booman, she's joining us from Sioux City. She's a co-facilitator of a Moms Off Meth group in Cherokee and Lamar's. Also two recovering meth addicts with us by phone, Melanie Storm and Joey Thompson. So a lot of people to talk to. Let me ask you this. I noticed last month, perhaps you, our listeners, have been seeing the new ads on TV, on billboards, on the radio, heard on the radio. The Office of National Drug Control Policy has launched a new national media campaign aimed at preventing methamphetamine use and raising awareness about treatment and recovery. Do you get the feeling, Judy, having been involved with meth addiction here in Iowa over the past 10 years, as you have been, that the problem is stabilizing, even getting better?
I believe there has been. I think Iowa has been a front runner in dealing with methamphetamine addiction, and we've done a lot of things to get the message out, to get the word out, educate the public about it, and educate people who use. And so I think we've come a long way from where we first started at, and I think there's a lot of good things happening. Obviously addiction is still a problem, but one thing that I think is important is for people to understand that addiction is a treatable disease and that there is hope, and a lot of people do recover and have long-lasting, sustainable recovery from it.
Moms Off Meth make the point that Moms Off Meth group is not a substitute for other types of therapy or counseling. Right?
Absolutely. We don't want anyone to think that we are in any way trying to say that we do treatment or that we do therapy and counseling. It's really a women-driven grassroots group of women who get together and talk about the important issues in their life that they identify are as important to them, and finding solutions to those barriers. A lot of people think that just getting clean and sober is a solution, and that's a great big part of it. But what they don't realize is that we really work for system and social change in the groups by doing community activism, because a lot of the women, once they get sober, they're ordered, rightly so, to get treatment, to get therapy, to get housing, mm-hmm. to get all of these different services. Many times they're court ordered to do that. And the reality for the women is there's not those, they don't have insurance, they don't have Title 19. They don't have transportation back and forth to treatment. They're kicked out of housing because of past charges. And so there's many barriers that get in their way of getting sober. And so just getting sober is not the only component.
What kind of funding or resources does Moms Off Meth require? And we've just had the 10% across the board cuts in the state. Will you be affected by that?
We don't have any funding. We haven't ever. I believe some of the groups have gotten funding as far as a little bit of support to pay a portion of a person's salary to facilitate the group. But I would say a huge percentage of the groups are done by women who are excited and passionate about doing the group, but there is no funding. And so funding cuts to us mean no chance at funding, I guess.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Many callers. Christy is joining us from Melford. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just want to say that I was with Joey Thompson when we went to the first Moms Off Meth training with Judy, and the one thing I remember is Judy telling me that, you know, that we're not bad mothers, we're just mothers that have made poor choices, and I remember when she said that to me, it gave me a lot of hope and encouragement. So. Mm-hmm.
Christy, you had you're a recovering meth addict as well?
Yes, I am.
Now, no one in your family or circle of friends had ever said that before. You heard that from Judy?
Yeah, and I had been involved in NA or in AA at the time, and which are wonderful 12-step programs. But nobody had ever told me that I wasn't a bad mother. Everybody told me that I was a bad mother for making the choices I did, and she told me I wasn't. And I remember that, and it empowered me.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been clean, Christy?
November 13th, I'll have been clean for 5 years.
Hmm. And did you also lost children for a while?
Yes, I did. My children were out of the home for 2 years. It took me about 8 months to even find any kind of recovery. And today I have recovery, and I'm also part of the Parent Partner Program. I'm a Parent Partner Mentor and have been on the board with that since it came about. And that all inspired because of me being in the Moms Group, and the moms group, me and Joey started it and in our Milford area, and we are facilitators of it. And we just empower and encourage women and show women that recovery is possible and that getting your children home is possible and that that it's possible to have recovery, you know. And the biggest thing, like Judy was saying, is that, you know, the alcohol and the drugs are not really my issue. My issue is learning and living life on life's terms, and I have a problem with doing that. And hearing and going to groups and support groups like Moms Off Meth gives me the tools that I need to be able to live life on life's terms and deal with my past history and the things that I have to deal with as a recovering addict. You know, life happens.
Right. Christy, thank you very much. And I want to ask Joey Thompson, I hope you're still on the line, Joey.
Oh, yeah.
That it sounds like you and Christy really are stepping into the shoes that Judy showed you could wear to help other women. And this must give you an incredible strength to know that after Judy and others have helped you, you can help other mothers.
Yeah, that's part of the whole process, is we want to bring other mothers up. And that's something that Judy taught us in the training, is, you know, we want to pull other women up through the ranks, because we don't want to see them fail, and we want to see more and more women step up and be able to make it. And you know, when we talk about that, we encourage other women, you know, become parent partners. We give them hope that, you know, they can restore their life. I've had so many areas of my life restored that it's just, you know, unbelievable in my recovery. And so even if you've lost everything, you know, there is hope and restoration. So
what do you have to say now to a meth addict listening to this program?
I guess what I have to say is, you know, it's your life and you get to choose. And when you're ready to make that choice for a different way, there's help out there and there's hope. And if you're all alone, reach out and get some help, because, you know, when you're all alone without your kids, you know, it's a very frightening place.
Judy, can you tell us if someone wants to find out more, or perhaps even start a Moms Off Meth group, or find out if there is one existing in their community, how do they do that?
Well, you can certainly email me at jmurp@firstresources.us. We also have a facilitator training coming up on November 13th in Cedar Rapids, and you can get hold of me or get hold of Haley Sandberg at Horizons, and her number, actually her email address would be hsandberg@horizonsfamily.org, or you could email me, and we would like to get people more involved in starting groups around the area of the state that aren't.
What if you're the loved one or a family member of someone who you know has a meth addiction problem or another substance abuse problem? Where can you reach out to the same, also sources?
Well, I think it's important for family members to know that they're not alone also. There are certainly many support groups for family members, Al-Anon family groups, and they can call their local treatment centers and see about getting help with dealing with the family disease also.
Want to reach out? Have you found help in a Moms Off Meth group? We'd like to hear your story. 1-866-780-9100. Or what questions do you have about getting off drugs and staying clean? Again, that number, 1-866-780-9100. Deb is joining us from Fort Dodge. Good afternoon, Deb. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, this is Deb.
Yes, Deb, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
I'm a facilitator here in Fort Dodge, and I have one of my group members here. Her name's Sonia, and she thought she'd talk to you about her story a little bit.
Okay, Sonia. Sonia, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Sonia. How long have you been in a Moms Off Meth group?
About 4 years.
4 years. And was going to a group the turning point for you?
Yes, it was. Actually, I came here from California, and I got in trouble here in Iowa. And I came to a treatment center for the first time in my life, and I seen a poster board. And I called it, and I showed up to the meeting that afternoon. And I think it was the very first time. It was the very first time I had seen women care for women. In fact, I had no clothes, and I had I was broken. I had absolutely nothing, no children. I had lost my freedom. And I talked a little bit about my story, and I went back to the treatment center, the very next day, a woman showed up with a care package. I have a thing for floss, and this woman showed up with floss. And after that, I went back, and I've been faithful and loyal to her. She showed me so much kindness that I had never seen before.
Are you now able to help other women, Deb, as well?
Yeah, Sonia's a key in our...
Sonia, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's key in our group as far as helping other women. She's very encouraging. She's a great speaker, as you probably hear. Mm.
Yes. Deb, if you're still on the line, how would you... how do you see the problem in the Fort Dodge area over the last few years? Is it getting worse? Stayed the same? Getting better?
I think the drug problem is probably, I think it's getting worse. I think what's happening, though, that I'm seeing in Fort Dodge is that we're seeing a lot of community collaboration amongst agencies and working together, which is huge. We work very closely. I work at the Domestic Sexual Assault Outreach Center, actually. So we work very closely with the Substance Abuse Treatment Center. We work very closely with DHS. We're starting a Parenting Partners program here in town. So that's really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Deb and Sonia, for joining us from Fort Dodge there from the Moms Off Meth group in Fort Dodge. Tell us, Judy, a little bit more about what takes place in a Moms Off Meth meeting. Sonia talked about the turning point of going to a meeting. What can people expect when they go to one?
Well, I think immediately they can go and they will feel they're finally in a safe place to talk about their own shame and guilt about they feel judged, and they are judged in many ways for what their children have went through because of their meth addiction. And as I said earlier, no one feels worse about that and more shame than the women themselves. And so it's comforting, I believe, to be in the company of other women who've been through the same things and who can tell them that there is hope, you can recover from that, and your children can recover too. Lots of issues happen with children once moms get sober, and so mm-hmm. that support from other women, that loving, caring, but also very honest. The women are very honest with each other. They're very out in the open, sometimes very blunt with each other, but they hear it very well from
what
each other.
What is typically the problems that children of meth addicts, recovering meth addicts, have had imprint on their life that they have to deal with then?
I think the biggest problem is all of the chaos that ensues when someone is, it isn't just meth addiction. When you're drinking or using drugs of any kind, there's a lot of chaos in the home. There's a lot of secrets in the home, and there's a lot of inability to focus on the children's needs over the needs of that person who's using. And so one of the problems that children I see typically happen, and I think a lot of the moms can relate to this, is all of a sudden mom's clean and sober, and she's enforcing rules, and she has structure. There's boundaries. There's this whole new woman who's moved into their life because mom's had treatment. She's had therapy. She's got these new living skills. The scary thing for children is sometimes they don't have the resources available to them to help them move past what they've been through and accept this new role, mm-hmm. and also to let go of their role. A lot of the children are parentified. They're used to being the one in charge or feel like they're in charge of the household. And so getting the kids to let go of that control and hand over to the mom is quite a process. And the kids are rightly angry. They're grieving, and they're frustrated about the life they've had to lead too.
And I imagine they don't quite trust when mom comes back and is recovering that that's going to stay that way. They've seen the ups and downs many times.
Absolutely.
Typically.
Many moms have said over and over, I'm not going to use again, and they mean it with all their heart. But as it's a relapsing and chronic disease. And so when they finally do get and decide to stay clean and sober, it takes a while, quite a while, for the kids to trust that they're serious.
1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Stacy in Des Moines. You were involved with the Moms Off Meth group, Stacy?
Yes, I was. When I was an employee of Children and Families of Iowa, I worked with their domestic violence program and was a co-facilitator of the Moms Off Meth group here in Des Moines. And I just wanted to comment that, echoing all the things that the women who've been involved have said today, that seeing women supporting women is just amazing. It was empowering to me in my work and just very humbling as well. And just also to reinforce that idea of the connection between drug addiction, domestic violence, and trauma. I think we can't say that enough, that a lot of times people are very quick to judge women and people in general who have had addiction issues and not looking at those underlying other elements as well.
So this is what gets talked about a lot in the groups. It's the underlying, perhaps, abuse in someone's background.
Right. And I think there's kind of like a circle that, you know, if you are involved in a domestic violence situation and your partner is using drugs and you are either using drugs to cope or you're encouraged to use drugs to be a part of that relationship, it's a vicious cycle. I think a lot of the women online can also comment on that as well.
Okay, Stacy, thank you for joining us from Des Moines. Let's go to our time's running out. Let's go to Carla in Cherokee. Carla, hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
I just, you know, I've been to the mom's group and I've gotten a lot of support from it. And I think Judy just addressed the issue is that, you know, it's called Moms Off Meth, but they're, you know, I'm an alcoholic and I've received so much support from that. Alcohol was my drug of choice and just being able to go to the meetings and everyone there is so understanding. It doesn't make any difference what your problem is.
Yeah, it's that substance abuse that – and Carla, have you lost things in your life even temporarily because of your alcoholism?
Over and above all, I lost my daughter for a year to foster care. And she was with family, but, you know, it was still a year away from her. And I've been through many treatments. I've lost, I don't know how many jobs, you know, through the years. And, yeah, I've gained it all back.
Judy wanted to jump in here. Judy
Carla, I'm so glad you brought that up because it is something that in the original group in Ottumwa, the women wanted to know right off the bat that they wanted us as facilitators, Cheryl Brown and myself, to know that they wanted every woman who had substance abuse issues to be allowed in this group. It wasn't just for the original group started because of meth, but the women quickly opened it up and wanted it to be sure that everyone who had addiction issues were allowed to come in to participate in the group. And so thanks for bringing that up, Carla. I appreciate it.
Carla in Cherokee, thank you very much. Jim in Des Moines, good afternoon, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I just wanted to offer kind of a couple of different additional perspectives. I tell you, first of all, I'm a social worker, and I really applaud all the women who are here today and the strength that they have. But I will tell you that just as your comments were just a few moments ago, some of the effects on children are quite a bit more damaging than were described. I'm also an adoptive parent of a foster child who had a stroke in utero and now is with us as our child and is in a wheelchair. And so I think, you know, as a society, we have to really applaud these women who are, you know, going on to make their life better, but understand that there are just really extensive societal costs to children that sometimes go much further than just the chaos that's in the home and so on and so forth. And there are just, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meth babies out there who have, you know, their lives are altered forever, and we should not forget them.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much for pointing that out. Jim calling from Des Moines. Is there any counter?
Yeah,
who is this, please?
It's Mary.
Mary, go ahead. Mary Booman.
The one thing I will say about our groups that have been in Cherokee and in Lamar's, and I know throughout the state, is that the women do make themselves very aware of the effects of their drug use or their partner's drug use on their children and have taken steps to address those issues as far as that. But there is sometimes, you know, those effects. And we don't, in our group, we're very honest about it. We don't try and hide it. And I agree with Jim. There's probably some effects that are devastating, much more so than just some of the psychologicals, but some of the physical stuff. But I do know that we've went to trainings where Dr. Rizwan Shah was made available, and sometimes to hear some of that was very difficult, but it was something that I thought the moms handled very well and was able to process back in the groups, too.
Yeah, and a key component, too, to the group is education. And we bring in experts from around different fields, whether it be children or treatment or child welfare or sexual and physical abuse. We bring in the experts to talk about the effects, but then we provide support to the women after these experts come in to help them verbalize how they felt about what they heard and how to get help and move beyond that and to be activists. We can't change the past, but we can certainly change our future.
We've got just a couple minutes left. I want to ask you, Judy, what does Moms Off Meth group do, or the leader or the facilitator of a group, when a woman stops showing up at a meeting? So they know the woman has relapsed.
Well, I think the most important thing that we do is some of the other women will reach out to her. They'll let her know they're thinking of her, they care about her, and that we always leave the door open for her and let her know that, you know, we're there for her, and we'll certainly support her any way that we can.
Okay, thank you. We've got just a minute. I want to reach out to Joey Thompson and Melanie Storm as recovering addicts, and thank you very much for sharing your stories, having the courage to share them on public radio. Joey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Melanie Storm, thank you very much, and continued good luck in staying clean of meth and other substances as well. I want to ask Judy to please tell us again if you're interested in more information on Moms Off Meth or perhaps starting a group in your community. What do people do?
You can email me at jmurp@firstresources.us. We have our website. It's kind of down as far as interactive, but there is a lot of information on there, momsoffmeth.com. And you can also go to the training and send me an email, and we'll certainly hook you up with learning how to be a facilitator in the Moms Off Meth group.
Very good. Judy Murphy, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mary Booman in Sioux City, thank you for joining us. Continued good luck as co-facilitator of the Moms Off Meth group in Cherokee and Lamar's. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, very good. The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. Once again, that Moms Off Meth web address, momsoffmeth.com for more information. Technical support from Dennis Reese, our producer assistant today, Christina Sarnelli. Podcasting available by going to iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.